Welcome to Mind Surfer MD. I'm your host, Dr. Liz Traynor, and my mission is to normalize discussions about mental health and provide resources to those of us who are riding the waves. So let's dive in.
Let's have some fun. Okay. I have learned so much about Zoom in this podcast journey, and I am so excited to have Dr. Denise Billen-Mihia. Did I say your name right?
Mihia.
I'm not good at the J's. It is so, so great to have you here. I love your melodic voice. I love your mission. I love that you are a physician who has turned hypnotherapist, because hypnotherapy was something that I found helpful in my journey with my waves up and down, in life. And I would just love to hear about, and I remember hearing that you retired from medicine and then found hypnotherapy and found that that was a wonderful way to help people in the way that you were able to as a physician. And I would love to hear more about, first of all, I'd love to hear what are some of the misconceptions about hypnotherapy, right?
That would be five podcasts, I think.
Right. Cause my experience with hypnotherapy was San Diego, UC San Diego, orientation. My boyfriend at the time was at UC San Diego. They had a hypnotherapist where it was one of these things where they bring you up on stage and it was hilarious, right? The people are starting to act like chickens and stuff. But I would love to hear
Just stop just a moment. There's a difference between all hypnotherapists are hypnotists.
Okay, good.
But not all hypnotists are hypnotherapists.
Okay. Excellent. Many point.
Are. Many
that
are.
Sure as hell was not a hypnotherapist. Therapist.
No.
Yeah, alternate motivation.
And it's not necessarily somebody who is a psychotherapist or a psychiatrist, let me say I'm not a psychiatrist, doing therapy, but it's using hypnosis for useful purposes and therefore it's therapeutic.
Got so it. Cool.
The main things that I'm excited about, I mean, I'm happy to use it for anything useful, but the main thing I think is so exciting is it's so useful with chronic pain and anxiety.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Have you ever met a patient that wasn't anxious at some level?
I know, right? Yeah, it's something so common. And you know, and that's part of the mission for this journey with podcasting is that, you know, people struggle on so many levels and yet it's something we're so afraid to talk about. And I really wish people were open about it because I think there's so much that we can learn and help each other with. And I think hypnotherapy is a tool that many people might not be aware of that can be very useful, like you said, in cases of anxiety or chronic pain, or I've heard irritable bowel syndrome or, you know, there are other things that have clinically, scientifically been proven to show where hypnotherapy is useful.
We've known for a long time that it worked. But now we have wonderful MRI things that can show you all sorts of stuff.
That's so cool.
We now prove that it's affecting you. Yes, they've done some studies and there's definite effect upon the immune system. There's lots of wonderful ways it can help people. But my concern is that people we tend to get very, very excited. Everything. It fixes everything. It fixes everything, including the kitchen sink. It does the laundry. It does everything. And of course.
It does the laundry.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be great? Cleans my house.
The problem is that then when it fails to do that for one person, everybody says, oh, it doesn't work.
It's a bad rap.
Right? It isn't a hypnotist doing something to you. It's somebody who knows how hypnotism works, helping somebody and guiding them through a natural process, because you go into hypnosis multiple times a day. It's just when your conscious mind checks out for a bit and your subconscious takes over and it's working all the time. So
is that kind of related to meditation at all? Like where you're trying
to
shut your conscious mind off?
I mean, the purpose of meditation is to make sure that you're conscious of the world a bit more often, right? You want to be mindful of things.
So maybe it's the opposite.
It's the other side of the coin. We want you to when you want to relax and you don't need to constantly scan the horizon, you can enter a wonderful state of hypnosis. You can relax. Mm-hmm. It's that few moments before you sleep is that period. And all mm-hmm. a hypnotist really does is know how to get you to that point and sort of mm-hmm. hold you there for those few mm-hmm. minutes when we're giving you back the suggestions.
And you're turning into a chicken.
Want to hear. Yes. If you want to be a chicken, because we can do that. But somehow I doubt it will be really useful to you.
I don't know. I might be a chicken.
It is. Who knows? They look like they're fairly happy.
Yeah, without their head, too.
There's all those little microaggressions that people have had throughout life, all these little tiny traumas that mount
yep.
up.
Yeah.
And they're there all the time in the background. You're not you don't actually walk around saying, oh, I'm really ugly, but you have just this, you know, things that get in the way of you really enjoying and having a wonderful life. And we can do those things.
Yeah.
Now, I'm particularly interested in helping people realize that they can shape the way they respond to stressors like pain and like anxiety.
Uh-huh.
But it can work with, you know, losing weight. It can work with all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Actually, mm-hmm. before I got on this call with you, I was watching TV, like you do, and I saw...
Yes, I do. I have a Netflix account.
I can't believe that stuff's still around. But they were dissing hypnosis. Well, you could try hypnosis.
Dissing?
Uh-huh. Yeah. But
what show was that?
Here with Nicorette. Yeah.
Because I've heard it's good for smoking cessation.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Again, it's not me waving a magic wand. It's not you saying, oh, yeah, okay, you do it. You do the thing, and I won't have to do it again. No, you have to consciously want to because mm-hmm. your conscious mind is involved, and all of the other little messages that you've received over your life are still functioning.
Right.
You know, you can't have a session and just, okay, let's empty out all the negative things that are in your brain now. You can't do that. You just, you work one or two things at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, mm-hmm. but if you really want to quit smoking, do you smoke?
Mm-hmm. Hell no.
Oh, okay.
Hell no.
But, not wise
Never.
For pathologists, I feel.
No. Oh, hell no. No, I'm embarrassed to say I have, a prejudice against smokers, and I really want to have compassion, right? Because there are people who got hooked on something that is so addictive that it is mm-hmm. very hard to stop. But I just find the smell so offensive. I'm not a fan. And mm-hmm. I see so much lung cancer in my work. Oh my God. This movie from 1963, all these people were smoking. I'm like, you're all going to get cancer. Just stop.
When I was a student, which is a million years ago, back in the very early 80s, I used to go to lung cutting conference, and at least 70% of the pathologists were smoking during lung cut. We didn't have no smoking indoors rules then.
So crazy. And Spain, I just got back from Spain, and everybody smoked. And that was mm-hmm. the one thing I didn't like about being in Spain. But they all were very good about wearing masks, I have to say.
Right.
When they're not smoking.
But the thing is, with smoking, it's multifactorial. It's not just that you're addicted to tobacco and the sugar that it's cured and all the other flavorings that they put in, but it's the social part of it too.
Yes.
Many people, because they think they're cool when they're 13 or 14 if they learn to smoke. And you know,
right.
And so these little messages that you don't realize you have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what
getting at the
psychologists do. That's what hypnotists do.
They get at those unconscious
attachments. We help you
attachments.
Figure out what they are. We
right.
have a conversation for several minutes. And it's sometimes, right. if you're really ready, it can be one time and you'll never smoke.
Wow.
And sometimes it takes a little bit more, or you check in. Most of us have three or four sessions booked.
Yeah.
And then you keep in touch and you say, nope, I'm not smoking. I'm fine. I don't need to come in. No, well, that's fine.
Right. Put yourself out of business, right? That's the goal. Yeah.
Isn't that the goal? I was told that when I trained originally in pediatrics.
Oh, really?
And I was told by my mentor that the purpose of pediatrics was to put internal medicine out of business.
Oh, I love that.
Because if we made those changes, we would all be, obviously, there's disease that isn't lifestyle related.
Of course.
But
of course.
Just about everything can be better if we use these modalities.
Yeah. And I wanted to circle back to the application of hypnosis towards depression, and I know you don't use the word depression on your website, but it can, like you were saying, help with unconscious beliefs of unworthiness, maybe, or like how
I don't use it, because since I no longer practice as a licensed physician, I don't make diagnoses.
Right.
I do have patients. Other people's patients come to me, and then their clients.
Got it. But I can self-refer, right? I don't need a doctor to refer me. I can just go to your website, aahypnosis.com. Is that right? Akesia and Agalasia, or what's it?
Akesia and Agalasia, but I'm not Greek either, so I don't know.
Okay. But aahypnosis.com.
It's called that because the Akeso is the Greek goddess of healing, and Agalasia is the goddess of radiant good health.
Agalasia, I love that. Radiant good health. Oh my God. I would name my daughter that if I had another daughter. Can you say that word again? I love that word.
Well, I believe it's Agalasia, but I may not be correct. If there are any Greeks listening, please put us right.
Please educate us. Put it in the comments below. We'd love to have your input. Give us the phonetic pronunciation, please. But it can help with unconscious beliefs that contribute to unhappiness, basically, if we can't use the word depression, right? So can you give examples of that, or give examples of a clinical case where you've been able to find success with that situation?
Honestly, the most success that my clients have is that they relax and they get sleep.
Sleep is so important.
I had a migraine patient who didn't come to me for the migraine. She came to me because she wanted to lose weight. She has such debilitating migraine, been going on for 10 years, followed by a big headache center near where I live. And she was able to get her pain, her medications and the various other modalities that were being used by the headache center. She could manage at around a 4 on a scale of 10. We got her during one session, she got down to 0.2. And she said,
wow.
I'm 0.2. And I said, I'm not going to push it. You know, that's, most of us can live at 0.2. That's all.
Yeah. So she was having a low grade migraine during the session. Is that?
Yeah. So her life was lived at low grade. When she hit over 4, it became difficult to function. She was working, but it was very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. But helping people relax enough to sleep. I mean, sleep is a huge priority in my life. I need 9 hours a night. It's one of the reasons I love pathology. Because I get the sleep that I need, whereas, you know, hell, if I were, excuse me, I shouldn't throw out some colorful words here, but if I were training in ER, like you were an ER physician, I would be so miserable. It's not worth it. I cannot think when I don't get enough sleep, and it is critical for my sanity, and I need it. And, same with exercise. It's just,
That's almost funny, because actually I became a doctor because I had small children, and I wanted to be able to go home and be not working when I went home. I liked shifts. But then I became dedicated to night duty because people didn't mess with my schedule when I was on night duty. They didn't always try and swap with me.
Right, because nobody wants your schedule. I love it.
But I'm not too sure that it was the healthiest thing for me. We know there was a study decades ago of nurses, because the largest group of people they could find that work nights. it knocks about 5 years off your life. I mean, it really makes a that's, you know, you'd have to go look at the actual statistics, but from my memory, I think it's about 5 years.
Interesting. I just heard something recently that, and I haven't looked at any of the science on this, but that matching our daily rhythms to the circadian rhythm of, you know, waking up at sunrise and, you know, anyway, I just found that fascinating. The idea that matching our schedules to what's out in nature can actually be therapeutic. So anyway, I want to do some more research.
Want a book
on that
recommendation?
Idea. Yes, please. I was going to ask you that. What are your favorite books?
Not on hypnosis, but why we sleep. By Matthew Walker, I think.
Oh, I'll have to give that a listen.
Yeah.
Jot that down. Oh, cool. You ever tried hypnotizing friends or family or yourself?
When I was learning, because those are the people you can catch. But it's not really.
Right. They're easy targets, right?
They're easy targets, and they'll you know, but at the same time, it, you know, don't really a profit in your own land, right? I think that it's also because it's, they might want to reveal something that's very personal. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's easier to do that and mm-hmm. someone that's less mm-hmm. vested interest in what the answer to the question is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to know, for a lot of the techniques, I don't need to know what the issue is. If we're working on a bad memory, you don't have to relive the memory and tell me about it. You can just play it in your head. Have you ever done EMDR?
You know, it's so funny you ask that because I literally just started EMDR like
very
a month ago.
I used it. It's very
just effective. A month ago, and I'm already finding it helpful. And I I'm going to interview the gal who's helping me with that. It is. Can you talk a little bit about how that works? I just heard this word called neuroaerobics or something like that. We're doing something physical with a different thought helps imprint mm-hmm. that thought into the brain.
I'm afraid that I cannot give you any more information than that.
Okay.
But it is very similar to what we do in hypnosis. You do not need, you're processing, you're thinking the memory, you're thinking the feeling that the memory invokes
right.
whilst you're moving your eyes, which is, of course, where EM.
Right. Eye movement,
yeah.
desensitization reaction right. or something like that. Yeah. EMDR, eye movement. Yeah.
And
yeah.
so with hypnosis, it's the same thing. You don't need to be actually, you realize the emotion, you think about but we change that memory. Now one of the criticisms of hypnosis has been that it can end up giving you false memories. This is true with any memory. When you look at a memory, it's changed. You take it
they're fluid every time. Different
every time.
Yep.
Exactly. So we are very careful. Every time you watch a silly cop show and they hypnotize somebody so they remember the details of the crime, only works in Texas and I think it's North Dakota. There's only two states that will allow hypnosis obtained evidence to be presented in court, and it's very unreliable. It's incredibly useful for the person going through the experience, but it is not reliable from an evidentiary point of view.
Interesting. Yeah. It's interesting to talk about the limitations of hypnosis. And like you said, you know, somebody has to be motivated mm-hmm. to make the change. It's like the horse and water, right? You can't make the horse drink if they're not. Right. You can bring them the water, but.
Yeah. And you can't come to somebody and say, okay, I want to be taller. No, sorry. Unless you're a teenager, because I'll say, go get some more sleep. But, but. Or make you blonde, although I could encourage you to go
bisexual. You can't make me blonde? I just started to go gray, and I have to say I love being gray. Like, this is the real me. And you have this beautiful white hair, which I aspire to. It is so gorgeous. That is my future. I hope I get there before too long, because it looks so beautiful. But can't make
really
you blonde, can't make you tall. Yeah.
What it's really useful for is those tiny little limiting self-beliefs.
Yes.
That may have happened, you know, because of something that was said to you in the playground when you were a child.
Right.
And
yeah, like the idea.
You can't often remember what it is. You just know that something makes sense. Now, quite often, there'll be somebody who's got a fear of dogs or a fear of needles. That's been a big
thing. My kids are afraid of spiders, and they're like 20.
Mm-hmm.
Spiders.
Right. But often those are from minor things. You know, if you grew up around dogs, you don't usually freak out. And if one dog barks at you, you don't blame all dogs. But if you were a tiny child and you had a bad experience with a dog, you may want to.
I got bitten twice. Okay. I don't like them.
Yeah.
Just being honest.
Shame. They're lovely, really.
They are. My aunt has the most wonderful service dog. I just adore Jack. His name is Jack Sparrow. But anyway, being afraid of dogs, like there's something when you're young that can imprint on you.
Yeah. Well, any bad memory. I mean, one of the things, of course, when we're talking with other physicians, quite frequently we hear about the aggression and bullying that takes place during training, medical school, and residency. And
such
some of those
toxic
things are sitting there, and they affect all aspects of your life. It doesn't just affect how you deal with patients or colleagues.
Right. like one of the ingrained beliefs that EMDR I'm working with is that, you know, my value is only tied to what I perform. You know, if people like me, if I make a certain amount of money, if I make the right diagnosis, and, you know, and then, you know, allowing, like thinking about a time when I felt like a failure, which, you know, in retrospect really wasn't that bad of a failure, but it precipitated a depression. And like going back to that very, very dark place. And then instead of eye movement, we're using like tapping. Mm-hmm. And just moving through that memory until it transforms into mm-hmm. a neutral, peaceful place. It's so interesting. And that was in one session.
Yeah.
So
it can be very, very quick.
Do you do EMDR?
I do not mm-hmm. use MDR, but I've had when mm-hmm. I was in therapy after I mm-hmm. You know, I had to leave medicine. I was very ill and I couldn't practice. It took many years to recover enough to study something else. So I decided mm-hmm. that I would study health coaching because mm-hmm. it seemed to be related to my past career. But whilst I was going through that, there was a lot of things that I went through. Mm-hmm. And some of those memories we dealt with in the EMDR.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very powerful technique. It's so interesting. Another book that I just heard about, in a tangential way, it kind of relates to EMDR, is a book called, The High Five Habit. And the idea is when you see yourself every morning in the mirror, give yourself a high five,
of course,
a virtual high five, because mm-hmm. raising our arms is cognitively and wired in us to be a joyful celebration. Mm-hmm. And you get a little dopamine hit. And when you see yourself in the mirror, you realize there's two of you, right? There's the you that's the thinking you standing in the flesh. And then there's the you that's outside of you that you're always judging and hating on and saying, you know, Liz, you're not good enough if you, you know, don't, you know, make more money for your practice as the managing partner. Cause that's where I was really depressed this summer.
Yeah. Where is your worth?
Yeah. Right. Where is your worth? And if you just go through the motion, it sounds crazy, but if you go through the motion of high-fiving yourself every single morning, first 5 days are really uncomfortable and awkward, but then you get used to it. And then the action, the physical action, while you're thinking a different thought, helps imprint that different thought. That's the neuroaerobics mm-hmm. concept that this author, Mel Robbins, talks about in this book, The High Five Habit. And so I literally just put it down on my Audible list, and I really look forward to listening to it. The other book that I'm listening to right now that I love is called Everything is Figure Outable. So when I couldn't figure out why my screen, it was not working for this Zoom call, which is the third Zoom call we have tried to do, because the first time the audio didn't record, the second time the audio didn't record because I was trying it on an iPad, and third time's a charm. And I'm like,
we shall see. If you're listening to us now, it worked.
If you're listening to it now, it worked. Anyway, it has been so much fun talking to you, Denise. I always learn from talking with you. And how can our listeners reach you? Where do they find you?
Through my website, www.aahypnosis.com.
Okay. So www.aahypnosis.com. A as an apple, A as an apple. A as an acacia. A as an aglacia.
Hypnosis.com. I think, but who knows?
Aglia. Okay.
So we're waiting for you to tell us, people. Tell us.
Ah, yes. Yes. So please, please check out, Dr. Villan Mejia's website. She has so much to offer. She has a page on there about how to help your sleep. She has a page on there discussing all the benefits of hypnosis and all the applications, some of which we may not have touched on today. And, I just think she'd be a great resource for everybody. And, thank you so much.
Point out that I've been very happy to talk to any doctor that wants to add this to their training. Not that I train people, but I would love to talk to people about how they could use it in their practice.
Yes. Yes. And that was something we talked about is that it's so simple and powerful, and it should be part of our medical training, but mm-hmm. it's not.
And we were told that in the 50s. They said it should be part of every physician's armamentarium.
You know, mm-hmm. you, and doctor, could put together like maybe a 1-hour actionable item workshop for physicians that could teach us some of those skills. I don't know if that's something that's learnable in an hour or 2 hours, but I think that would be a really powerful, educational option for us physicians to tune into. And so, anyway, I would love to learn more about it because it helped me when I was riding my waves of depression. And, you may have heard me tell this little story that it was my hypnotherapist who suggested I write a letter to myself after my divorce that described everything my husband was, like to write it in the present tense. Mm-hmm. And I found this letter like 10 years after I'd written it when I was cleaning out the closet. And the husband that I am so deeply in love with is every single thing on that list that I wrote 10 years before right. I met him.
Right. One of the things to remember is all of the answers that you need in this world are in you. We just have to help you find them.
Yeah.
I would like to point out also before we sign off that hypnotists don't to diss my therapy colleagues, but the idea is that we teach you how to do this. We get over whatever the particular issue is, obviously.
Right.
They need help with that. But there are so many of these techniques that can help you throughout life. And so you would learn how to use hypnosis yourself yourself.
Oh, wouldn't that be brilliant? Wouldn't that be just brilliant to teach kids how to do this, right?
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. This has been really, really wonderful. I am so, again, grateful for your time. Check out aahypnosis.com and have a wonderful day. It was such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Bye.
If you found value in today's episode, please subscribe, share with a friend, and provide your feedback. Reach me at mindsurfermd@gmail.com and let me know how I can serve you better, particularly if you have suggestions for other guests that could benefit our listeners. And we're on Facebook, MindSurferMD. Catch you later.